At 8:23, this is KERA News. I'm CM Baker. The Dallas School Board last night voted to potentially close 5 schools. The Texas Education Agency has rated 3 of the schools, Titch Elementary, Edison Middle School, and Carr Elementary, as improvement required for 5 straight years. Another failing rating for any of those schools would trigger a possible state takeover of the district. Community members in West Dallas, however, did manage to win a concession from the board. If Edison passes this year's state test, the middle school will relocate into nearby Pinkston High School, but keep its name. Activist Hilda Duarte.
We appreciate that you're listening to community. The community did not want to leave West Dallas, and the plan to move Edison students into Pinkston is a really good plan. At least you're listening to the community.
If Edison does get another failing rating, its students will still move into Pinkston, and the high school will become a 7th through 12th grade school. The mostly African-American J.W. Ray Learning Center will close whether it passes the state test this year or not. Board member Bernadette Nuttall spoke against that idea.
I don't understand why we're not giving J.W. Ray a plan B. We're giving all the other schools that are IR status, but we're yet to not give J.W. Ray a plan B, and I don't think that's fair.
Kennedy Learning Center also would close. Students from Ray and Kennedy will attend Cesar Chavez Learning Center. Now to this week in politics. We came out of a federal government shutdown. Now there's a lawsuit in Dallas County to remove more than 120 Democratic candidates from the state's primary ballot. For our Friday conversation, KERA's Rick Holter talked to political scientist Rebecca Dean at UT Arlington.
Let's start with the lawsuit. Dallas County Republicans are suing to get 128 Democrats kicked off the primary ballot. There are some big names there, legislators like Royce West and Eric Johnson, County Commissioner Elba Garcia, and both Democrats running for district attorney, John Cruzeau and Elizabeth Frizzell. What kind of impact do you see this having?
Well, of course, it depends on whether or not the lawsuit is successful, right? I think one of the interesting things is all the way back to 2000 with the Supreme Court case of Bush v. Gore, we've seen an increase in litigation as political strategy. Mm-hmm. And so what it forces the person against whom you have brought this suit to do is to focus energy and time on it, mm-hmm. when they would much rather be worrying about who their voters are, raising campaign funds, and the sorts of things that are necessary as you ramp up for our primary, which is, you know, the earliest in the country.
The Democrats rode an anti-Trump wave in most of the special elections last year. Since then, the tax bill has passed. We've had the shutdown. Can that wave continue into November?
What's interesting about this election is that there are some ways that it is typical, and then there are ways that it's very atypical. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the ways that it fits sort of what we expect in patterns is that the candidates who survive the primaries are going to be the most extremes of each party. What's atypical is we don't know exactly what the effect of the president's unpopularity is going to be. We don't know if people who voted for him in 2016 are likely to then vote for Republicans in the midterm. And we don't know about turnout. Mm-hmm. And it all depends on turnout.
Let's talk a little bit about Congress. UTA, of course, is in Republican Joe Barton's district. There are 18 candidates trying to replace him after his sex scandal. 11 of them are Republicans. So much has been made of the surge of Democrats and women running this year. There's obviously a significant amount of energy on the Republican side, too.
Well, you've got a vacancy, especially if you think you have a good shot of winning. You don't want to challenge an incumbent, because they have all of the advantage. And so when you've got an open seat, then you've got Republicans coming out of the woodwork who think that they've got a shot.
It is interesting in Texas this year because there are 8 open seats. Is that unusual?
It sure is. There's a couple of things at play here. For a couple of those representatives, the Republican internal processes on term limiting for committee chair positions meant that they were going to have to give up their chair position of important committees. And I tell my students, Congress operates like little fiefdoms. And so those committees, once you have that power of being chair, it's hard to go back to not being chair. And especially if they're more senior and sort of at the end of their career, it's sort of a perfect storm. You've got those things coming together at the same time that you have, you know, 2 separate sex-related scandals. Moving folks out. And then you've got some, you know, folks that are just older and ready to retire.
One of the fascinating things for someone in your business looking at the 2016 election was how much conventional wisdom got turned on its head. And I wonder how, heading to this 2018 election, how can you look ahead when the usual grounding got taken out 2 years ago?
You know, what I, as a political scientist, try to do is to separate what I think will still hold and what is at play. And what I think still holds is turnout. Mm-hmm. Especially in a state like Texas, where turnout is traditionally low, even a small uptick can really make a difference. So one of the things we didn't predict well with candidate Trump was turnout among the people who felt very strongly for him. And so that could have a reverse effect. So there's an interesting story out of the Houston area where a Democrat is working really hard in bringing in kind of deep pocket former President Bush supporting Republicans who traditionally would not be interested in a Democrat, but who were mobilized by their frustration and dislike for not only President Trump, but the way that he comports himself. That kind of dissatisfaction that is a function of that unusualness can actually behave in a pretty predictable way.
Rebecca Dean, political scientist at UT Arlington, thanks for taking the time.
No, it was great. Thank you so much.
Dallas Mayor Mike Rawlings will pick up an award today from Americans for the Arts for his work championing local arts. The organization cited the creation of Dallas Arts Week, then expanding it to Arts Month. Americans for the Arts also credited the effort to create a new cultural plan and the success of the Dallas Arts District. In the forecast, cloudy skies, a 20% chance of rain. Expect a high near 61. It's 50 degrees now in Dallas, 52 in Fort Worth.